In a concentration camp in Poland, there was once a young violinist named Selak. He had been in the camp for 2 years, and in all that time he had never ceased practicing his music. He had no violin, and he had no bow, but still he practiced. In the long nights of pain and boredom, he dangled his legs over the edge of his bunk, held his chin just so, his hands out, and fingered through Schumann and Brahms and Mozart. And he heard the music in the air, even though no one else around him could hear it. He did. Then one night, half of those in his barracks were marched away. Awakened from sleep, they were marched away and could take nothing with them. That night, Selak played silently into the darkness, trying to fill it with music. The next night, a new group of souls was marched into the barracks, and rifle butts forced them 4, 5, 6 abreast onto the wooden slats that would be their bunks. And across from Selak, on the upper platform, unbelievably, was the master violinist he had heard in Prague. It couldn't be, but it was the master. With the shouting and the calling and the crying, Selak could not speak to him. But perhaps the master would not have answered anyway. His eyes looked as though they were seeing past the rim of the Sheol. Selak stared across at him. How often had he listened to this man's music? How often had his soul breathed on every tone that shimmered or danced or thundered or struck from his strings? Selak knew that in his best moments, in his very best moments, he could never make the music that this master made. But the knowledge did not bring despair to him, only wonder at the gifts of God. That God had touched this man so that he could breathe music like the living breath of God. Selak shook his head at the thought. The next night, Selak sat on the edge of his platform and called across. Master! He had to whisper so that the capos outside would not hear him. But the master did not stir. Master! Selak called again. Master! But the master drooped his head lower than before, and he did not answer. The next night, Selak did not call. He dangled his legs over the edge of the platform, held his chin just so and his hands out, and he began to play. With his bow of air, he drew through a long and trembling adagio from Schumann, then spurted to a quick rondo from Brahms. His eyes closed with the beauty of the music, and when he opened them again, finishing with a short, quick presto from Mozart, the master was looking at him. He had heard the music. The next night, the master and Selak sat across from each other. They dangled their legs over the edge of the bunks, held their chins just so, and their hands out, and played a Corelli duet. The master tapped the air with his foot for the rhythm, and Selak took the second line. The music from the two of them interlaced like two rosy vines until they reached perfect bloom in a note that they held and held. Longer than Corelli might have wished, but neither Selak nor the master wanted the duet to end. And those around them heard. They heard the music too. After that night, and for many, many nights, the master and Selak played the Corelli duet, their bows waving in thin air. Just thin air. But the music that came from that air. All those in the barracks held their breath with the astonishment of it. They all closed their eyes at the beauty of it. Their hearts forgot to beat in the joy of it. And always, Selek heard the master's line, louder and sweeter, the line of a musician touched by God. One night, the guards burst into the barracks, and the darkness bristled with flashlights and bayoneted rifles. The glare of their lights was like the glare of hell. One by one, the guards called the numbers, and each prisoner looked at his tattooed arm to see if his was the one called. The barracks filled with quiet weeping as the dreadful march of numbers drummed on and on, followed by the dead sound of feet hitting the floor. And when the last number was called, Selek looked across at the master's face and saw that it was him. With a sigh, the master looked to heaven and then began to climb down from his platform. But Selek was quicker. He slid down first and stood beneath the master, looking at the hands that had held themselves just so to make such music. "Stay," he whispered. "Stay for the music. Stay for its joy." The master's eyes widened, and he shook his head. "Hold him," said Selek, and though the master struggled, hands grabbed him and pinned him to his bunk. Selek walked out of the barracks and into the cold night, feeling his soul rise. When the camp was liberated, the master had survived. He lived afterward for many years and gave many concerts. And his music breathed joy. His music spoke of hope and love and spring and summer, of children and home and peace, of all the good and joyful things in this old and tired world. And all his concerts he ended by playing a single line from the Corelli duet, a single, lonely line that somehow would thrill with the sounds of happiness. And he would always weep, always weep. From joy, his audiences were sure. From joy.